we're continuing our series on Acts by looking at what happened after Peter and John healed the lame man that we looked at last week. We saw in Acts 3 how they healed that lame man. And this week we're looking at Acts 4 to see what happened next. We saw that they were on their, last week, that they were on their way to the temple to pray, and they stopped when a lame man called out to them for help. He wanted money. He wanted something to help him to survive. But they gave him not what he asked for, not the money he asked for, but something that he needed so much more. And they healed him both physically, and he was healed spiritually too as he came to know Jesus. The man who was over 40 years old had been lame from birth. So when he starts jumping around with his ankles and feet totally strengthened, completely able to support him, which they could never have done before, this had a huge impact on the people around. They knew this man. He was always at the temple begging. So to see him like this astounded them. As the crowd marveled at what had happened, Peter speaks to them, telling them that it wasn't Peter and John's godliness or their power that healed the man. But instead, Peter tells them about Jesus and said it was in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that had given complete healing to this man. This was an amazing opportunity to preach the gospel. It hadn't been planned. Peter and John were simply going to the temple like they did each day. But out of compassion and through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, they had responded to this man's plea for help, and they'd given him something far more than what he could have ever imagined. Peter and John may not have expected the reaction of the crowd, but once it happened, once this opportunity presented themselves, they weren't going to waste it. They wanted to make it clear what had happened and how it had happened. And they did this by sharing the amazing truth of Jesus. But great opportunities are often accompanied by great opposition, and that was the case here. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. When I read this, I wonder how long Peter spoke for, because it was 3 PM when he went up, when they went up to the temple, and now it's evening. Just be glad I won't be speaking for that long today. Anyway, there was a great response to his message. Just like on the day of Pentecost, many people believed, and the number of believers grew quickly. How incredible that out of that impromptu chance to talk about Jesus, there could be such a response. Peter and John didn't wonder whether the temple authorities wouldn't be happy with them doing this. They didn't worry about anything except taking an opportunity that had been given them to speak about Jesus, to share the gospel with the people around them. Although there is such an amazing response to the message, the priests and Sadducees didn't like what was happening. They would have already been on edge with what had been happening in Jerusalem since Jesus returned to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. They wouldn't have been happy already about the believers and what had been happening. And here they could see that Peter and John were causing a disturbance at the temple, the sacred place that they were responsible for. These authorities were the same ones that wanted Jesus killed to stop what he was doing. You can imagine their dismay and anger when they now see some of Jesus' followers willing to speak out so boldly about him. And also that the crowds were eager to hear and were responding to what they heard. The priests and the Sadducees could see their power being affected. They were the ones that controlled the temple. They were where the high priests came from. They were the political leaders, the financial and social elite. They didn't want anyone or anything to affect their power or cause issues with the Romans, whom they tended to collaborate with. They were angry too, because unlike the Pharisees, The Sadducees didn't believe in angels, in the resurrection of the dead, or in life after death. That's why they were sad, you see. Good, I'm glad you laughed at that. Because I've been wanting to use that joke for years. Trouble is, you hardly ever preach about the Sadducees, so. Peter saying Jesus had risen from the dead was heresy to them. And they could see a disturbance happening where they were supposed to keep control. Although Peter and John hadn't done anything wrong, they were arrested and put in prison overnight. They were left there until they could be brought before the authorities the next day. Peter and John, who'd been going to the temple as normal that afternoon, suddenly find themselves in prison for obeying God and doing good. It wasn't even clear what crime they had committed. We can feel hard done by at times when someone criticises us or is nasty to us because we are followers of Christ, because we try to live as Jesus says. But I don't think we will get as hard as these guys did. Doing what God tells us to do doesn't mean that everyone's going to like it or even understand it. Acts 4, 5 to 6. The next day, the rulers, elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. We see here the Jewish authorities brought the big guns in. They assembled the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. This was where the Sadducees' power base was, even though there were Pharisees represented too, who were part of it too, but the Sadducees were the ones that really controlled it. They would want to intimidate Peter and John with this show of strength from the religious rulers who had great authority. And also, it was an indication of how seriously they viewed what was going on, what a threat it was, and they wanted to make sure they could stamp it out quickly. This was a major worry and disruption for them. They thought they dealt with the problem of Jesus by killing him, and now his followers, instead of keeping their heads down and going back just to their everyday life, just keeping quiet, just not causing any problems, they were causing issues by proclaiming that Jesus had risen from the dead and was the promised Messiah, especially as the Sadducees' beliefs didn't have room for a Messiah, unlike the Pharisees. The Pharisees were expecting a Messiah, but the Sadducees didn't hold that a Messiah would come. Peter and John were brought in, and the authorities start to question them, asking by what power or name they had done this, what authority had allowed or authorized them to do this. Peter and John were fishermen. They weren't used to associating with the Jewish leaders, nor were they scholars of Jewish teaching. They should have found themselves totally out of their depth. They'd spent a night in prison, not a comfortable place by any means, and now were facing a scary situation. The rulers had great power, and although the Sadducees weren't liked, they were definitely feared by the people. These were the same group who had arranged the killing of Jesus through their collaboration with the Romans. So they weren't willing to just ignore anyone who threatened their power. Acts 4, 8 to 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Peter wasn't daunted by the situation at all. Fear didn't keep him quiet. He was responsive to the Holy Spirit and willing to speak out. What an opportunity he had. He was going to share the message of Jesus before the highest Jewish authorities. He didn't try to avoid it, thinking, if I'm quiet, they'll let me go. There's no point talking to them. They're not going to listen to me. I'm better off saying nothing and getting out of here quickly so I can go and speak to people who will listen. Often we can make excuses why it's not the right time or place to share about Jesus. This can be valid. It can be a waste of our time and energy to try to talk to people who are just totally disinterested, are definitely not going to listen. Or maybe a setting where it's not appropriate to share at that time. For example, in your workplace where you're meant to be actually working, you're not meant to be there talking about this to other people. You're meant to be hard at work. We need to exercise discernment in each situation and be careful that our reluctance comes from the right reasons, not simply because we're afraid or unsure what to say. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, just as Peter was here. And if the Holy Spirit is telling us to speak out, we need to be willing to be bold no matter what. Even though the rulers were not going to accept what Peter said, it was important that he declared the truth to them. If he was quiet or denied what had happened out of fear, this would have a disastrous effect on the new group of new believers. It would cause them to be fearful too. And they could be wondering whether what they heard was the truth. If one of their main leaders wasn't willing to stand up for this, what did that mean for them as they went about their life? It could make them doubtful about what they'd heard and what they'd responded to. So it was important that Peter spoke up. While Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit was directing him in what to say, he still had to obey and speak out. At first, he points out how stupid it was what the rulers were doing. By asking why were Peter and John being questioned about an act of kindness shown to a lame man? This was something anyone should have done. It was something that they should have done to someone who was in need. Anyone should have helped someone in need. So why are they being challenged about it? It didn't justify this reaction from the rulers. Then Peter very clearly, in a couple of sentences, speaks out the gospel. There can be no mistake in what he's saying. He's blunt and to the point. He certainly doesn't try to soften it because of who he's in front of. He even calls the leaders to account by emphasising that it was them that crucified Jesus. He's going to declare the truth no matter what. He points out that it was the power of Jesus who healed this man. The rulers were responsible for crucifying Jesus, but this couldn't stop what God was doing. He quotes scripture that was given long ago about Jesus and then makes what would seem an absolutely incredible statement to them. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. What's interesting is that the rulers' first reaction to this wasn't anger or rage. You would think they'd be fuming. It was astonishment, because in verse 13 it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realised that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They should have been so angry at what had been said. They should have ripped into Peter, reminding him of who he was and who they were. It seems that they were left speechless, not with rage, but with confusion. They weren't expecting such a response, particularly not from this person. Peter had the courage he needed in this situation because he was willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. When we face difficult circumstances, we need to draw on the Holy Spirit, on the encouragement that the Holy Spirit has for us, on the words that the Holy Spirit wants to say to us and wants us to say. And we see that the rulers recognize the impact of Jesus on these men. Their second reaction was to actually look at what had been done. The man who was healed was standing there in front of them. They couldn't deny what had happened. They couldn't say, oh, it was a different man, or that he hadn't really been lame or anything like that. The evidence that he had been healed completely was clear to them. A man who everyone knew, who had been like that from birth, had been lame from birth, was now completely healed. Although this was the next day, the man was still there. He'd stayed with Peter and John, even though they were under threat from the authorities. He didn't worry that he might be in danger, that the authorities might decide to take their anger out on him. He wasn't an important person. He could have easily been picked on by those authorities. He has now met Jesus through this, so he also has the courage to face any opposition. The rulers are left confused. They can't refute the healing that had taken place. And interestingly enough, they don't try to disprove the resurrection in any way. They don't argue with Peter and John about Jesus rising from the dead. They don't try to disprove it by saying, oh no, his body's here, or we know that's not true, or no, people didn't really see him. They don't try to argue that in any way. As well, their strategy of attempting to frighten and threaten Peter and John by imprisoning them and then by bringing them before this whole group of rulers hasn't worked. So the rulers go into damage control. They talk together, trying to work out what they can do. They say how they can't deny this miracle because all the people know it had happened. In an attempt to stop it spreading further, they decide to warn Peter and John and tell them to stop speaking about Jesus. They can't change what has happened, but they still think that they have some hope of controlling it. They haven't realised the power of the Holy Spirit and how completely Peter and John have committed their cause to Christ. This warning from the authorities was a serious matter, something Peter and John should have been concerned about. Yet they don't get the response that they wanted in Acts 4, 19 to 20. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." What a great reply. Obviously, as Jewish leaders, they would hold that you needed to listen to God, not man. That what God said overruled any human direction. But they considered themselves to be the ultimate authority on what God wanted. So they expected to be obeyed. However, it would be hard for them to argue that in the light of Peter and John's response. Peter and John then go back to the other believers and tell them what had happened. The first response of all of them was to seek God in prayer. Rather than getting overcome by fear or trying to work out the best strategies for going forward, they know they need power and direction from God. The opposition that they face is real and serious, so they go straight away to the one that they depend on, the one who is above any earthly ruler or power. This shows the importance of being with other believers. When we join with others, especially when facing challenges, we're encouraged by each other and are more ready to seek God and continue on. If our faith is getting weak, we can draw on the faith of others. And if we are standing strong, we can help and encourage others to stand firm also. On our own, we can feel isolated and let our fears overwhelm us. There is strength and power in being together, in letting our faith combine with others. And these new believers knew that. As they pray, they speak out what they know about God. They remind themselves of who God is. They call him sovereign and declare that he is the creator. Everything that exists is made and sustained by him. Nothing is outside his control. So opposition and threats need to be seen in the light of this. In whatever we face, we need to remind ourselves of who God is and of his power. God knows the future. Even when things don't go according to our plans, God is not caught unaware. God knew that the rulers would respond like this, that those serving him would not only have great success, but also face great opposition. Because of that, they were able to ask him not to take them out of this situation, but to give them strength in it. Often when we face difficulties, we want God to make them go away. And we can get upset when that doesn't happen as quickly as we would like. We can lose hope and give up. God will give us the strength to face difficulties and come through them as we seek and trust him. They ask God to help them speak out about him with great boldness. They ask him to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. They are clear it is his power that lets them do these things, and they want to keep doing what God's called them to do. Rather than just seek protection, they ask for God's power so they can keep obeying and doing, and so that the opposition doesn't stop them. They want to keep on following him and doing what he has said, despite the circumstances. Whatever we are going through, Whether we are seeing great results or whether we are facing hard challenges, that should be our response. We need to keep asking God to help us to do what he wants us to do, no matter what, no matter what is happening around us. God gave them what they asked for. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They received what they had asked for and they used it. They didn't just pray for boldness. They prayed for it and then they went out when they received it. They went out and spoke about Jesus. They prayed for boldness to speak about Jesus. They received it and they went out and did what they'd asked for the boldness for. The opposition was still there, but these believers were able to face it and continue doing what God had told them to do. It's no good asking God for something, then when he answers and gives us what we've asked for, just ignoring it. We need to ask him for what we need, knowing that he wants us to come to him and ask. But then we need to use what he gives us. We need to be willing to face what's before us, knowing God is there and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. When we see success, we should be ready to praise God, to give him the praise. And when we see difficulty, we should look to him for the power to overcome it. We're not to be surprised when success and challenges go hand in hand, but we need to remember that God is in control, that he is the creator, that he is sovereign. We see in this story of Peter and John the impact of Jesus on their lives and how they responded to the Holy Spirit. They had the boldness to speak out when they were given an opportunity. It wasn't a situation they had prepared for or prayed for. It just happened as they were going about their regular activities. But when it arose, they trusted God. They looked to him for help and they kept strong in faith with his power. We need to be willing to do the same. God tells us to trust him and to do what he wants. We need to know Jesus, to be led by the Holy Spirit and rely on him for boldness to speak out. No matter what we face, no matter what challenges there are, no matter what successes we have, we need to keep on as God directs us to do what he tells us to do, to come to him when we need more boldness, to listen to the Holy Spirit for that discernment, that direction that we need as we live our lives, as we are those witnesses for Jesus in our society, to the people around us. We need to do that. And we see in this story of Peter and John how that can happen. How we can just, as we do just a regular activity, how something can come across that. Like they saw the lame man at the temple and how that created so many great opportunities for them to speak out the message of Jesus. So we need to have eyes to see, hearts to understand, that discernment to see what God wants to do and then to rely on him for the boldness that we need. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story of Peter and John. We thank you how you sustained them and kept them, Lord. No matter the opposition, Lord God, and the opposition was real, it had great power. But you enabled them, Lord, to continue on in faith, to do what you desired, to speak out your message. And Lord, we thank you for those new believers, Lord. They'd only just heard the message and yet they were strong in faith because they trusted you. Lord, I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray that each of us knows Jesus, knows who he is, what he did, what he said to us now. And Lord, that we will have that boldness, that when we see opposition, Lord, we will rely on you. And when we see success, we will give you the praise. And that above all, we will continue to do what you call us to, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.